Shall we go, or be go, or be go? Tis Niall boiling with you for the next hour or so. I hope you're all in good mood today. By the way, well done to everybody who was at the protest yesterday. The protest, of course, the main protest, not the counter-protest, the one that was in Dublin. The counter-protest, only, counter-protest, I think only had about 50 people at it. Kind of odd individuals. Anyway, the main protest, of course, according to most of the newspapers and, of course, the independent media out there, there was a couple of hundred people at it. But we all know that's not true. We all know there was actually thousands at it. Because at one stage, I watched it going by. As you know, we covered it live on the air here. We had a reporter out. And, and it was just an endless stream of people. I'm not a mathematician. But certainly, no, there wasn't a couple of hundred at it or a few hundreds. There were thousands at it. I'm not good at guessing numbers. I'm going to say somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000, maybe. So it was a good turnout. It was a good day. It was peaceful, and I'm glad to see that. Thank you to everybody who turned up. Well done to you all, because that's what protest is all about. Exercising your constitutional right to tell the government you're not happy about something. And, of course, the usual suspects were out today, calling you all a bunch of right-wing racists, but please don't take on board what they're saying. Now, don't get me wrong, there's always going to be a small percentage of people at a protest who are head cases, we all know that. But the vast majority of people that were there yesterday were concerned citizens who are frustrated by a reckless immigration policy by our government, and not just a reckless immigration policy, we spoke to people who were upset about housing, healthcare, and many other things. It was a reason for people to get out on the streets and tell the government, we're not happy with you. Well, the best way for you to protest now, of course, is in the elections in June, the local elections and the European elections, and of course the general election probably before the end of the year. So please do, and of course vote for me, of course, as your European MEP for Dublin, but please do have a look around your tickets around the country and see who's running, and look at some of the independents. They're doing a really good job, but I would say you should vote against the government. Don't vote for the government parties, because that's what we've been doing all along, and it clearly isn't working, according to many people who listen to this show, and many people who are protesting, and many people around the country that I've spoken to over the last few days while we've been campaigning. We'll talk a little bit more about the campaign a little bit later on. But today, I decided, because we've just been, it's politics, it's politics, it's politics, and for a lot of people, it's a little bit too much. So we decided, we just kind of lighten the mood, because I think it's a really interesting conversation. In relation to, what young people should be doing. This whole idea that every kid should go to college, when really most of them, are wasting your money and wasting your time going to college, because that's not really what they want to do. And many kids these days, go into the arts or engineering, which are two of the biggest, I believe, courses for dropouts, because they're only going because mommy and daddy want them to go to college. Well, this is an interesting message that we got. It says, "Hi, Niall. I'll keep this short, but I'm so stressed. My son is 16 years of age. He just completed his junior cert last year. I'm not going to lie to you. He didn't do too well because, God love him, he's not the brightest when it comes to this kind of thing, but he did try hard. He's just not the most academic and seems to have very little interest in learning in school. And besides, he tells me all the time that he hates it. Every weekend and some days after school, he works with his father in the garage and family business, as my husband is a very good mechanic and his brother is a panel beater. My son idolises his father and he just loves working with his hands. Last weekend, my husband suggested we let him leave school and work full time and get an apprenticeship in the garage. And when my son heard this, his eyes lit up. He was so excited by the very thought of it and now wants to do it. But I'm insisting he stay and wait at least another year to do his leaving cert. But my husband's argument is, why waste another year of his life on something he's going to fail miserably at and he has no interest in? They just won't listen to me, and it's causing a huge row in the house because I'm insisting that at least he try to do well in his leaving cert, as I'm so worried that if he leaves school with no state exam cert for the future, it could affect his future and he may change his mind about being a mechanic. What am I going to do? Okay, get the gist. He's 16. He's not an academic. He was good with his hands, likes to work with his father, wants to do an apprenticeship as a mechanic, which was a kind of done thing many, many years ago. But maybe not so much nowadays. But is it the right thing to do? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Who's right here? The mother or the father? Is the mother right? Should he stay in for another year in school, a year and a bit, and do his leaving cert? Or should he just leave now, do an apprenticeship with his father? Because he can do that. The father can apply to the state to get, subsidise him for doing an apprenticeship. Let me know what you think. Let me go to Carl. Carl, hi, how are you?
How are you, Niall? How are you?
Good.
Great topic today. A great topic to talk about today. And the reason we're saying that, because I was in the same position myself many, 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 many years ago when I was in school. Now, I went on and I finished my leaving cert. But from third year after the inter cert, I went off and I started studying engineering at night time and the weekends and days off. Mm-hmm. And I qualified as an engineer 2 years after I left school.
Okay.
And that's what I walked at till I had my accident. Now, did I do well in the Leaving Cert? No. I went in and I sat two subjects. I sat art and biology. They were the only two subjects I liked. I got an A in both of them, both honours.
Okay.
Didn't sit the rest of them. I didn't need them.
Okay. So, Well, I know for engineering, maths is important sometimes too. But in saying that, from your point of view, you were more practical than you were academic.
More practical, exactly, yeah. More mechanically minded than academically minded, yeah. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong, I could still do the maths, I could still do English, geography, history, but I had no interest in it. There was nothing there to grab my attention, to hold my attention for whatever it is, six, seven hours a day to sit there, listen to some gobshite preach down to you, you know.
Yeah, and what happens is if you've no interest, it's just all you're hearing off the teacher all day is blah, 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 blah. You're not interested. And I get that completely. By the way, have you got kids yourself, Carl?
I have two kids, yeah.
Okay, and how old are they?
One is 28 and one is 26.
Okay, if they had a came to you at 16 and said, Dad, I want to leave school a year before my Leaving Cert, what would you have said?
Well, you see, I'd say yeah, but the wife would say no.
That's exactly the situation we're in with this email, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But now listen, when my young fella left school, he took a year out. Yeah. I'm taking a year out. I'm doing fucking nothing, he says. And he took a year out from doing nothing. Sat in his room all day. I went out and walked and read a book. Went to college and studied marketing. Went back and he got his degree. Then he got his...
Yeah, there's no harm in that, by the way. It's a good thing for kids to do sometimes, is take a little bit of time out to decide what you want to do. Because this idea at the Leaving Cert where you must decide a year before you leave school, what course you're going to do in college. You know, I mean, my stepdaughter's 14 years of age, right? And she had to decide in February what subject she was going to do next year, going into the Leaving Cert, so to speak, going into the Leaving Cert to decide what career she was going to have in the future. So you have to sit down with a 14-year-old and say, do you think you want to be a lawyer? Do you think you want to be, you know, involved in technology? And they're kind of going, I don't know. They're 14. You know what I mean?
Some 14-year-olds don't even know what sex they are. How can they decide what job they are? Some of them are still identifying as frying pans. Jesus.
But you're making those decisions about the subjects that they're going to do when they're 14 years of age. They don't know what they want to do when they're 14 years of age. So, I mean, it is difficult. But look, in this case, the mother admitted himself he's not an academic. He didn't do well in his junior cert. That doesn't mean he's not a good kid or not a clever kid. There's a difference between academically clever and having common sense. I've always said this. Some of the brightest people in the world, by the way, are not academics. You know?
Yeah.
I don't consider myself an academic, by the way. I did my Leaving Cert, but I don't consider myself an academic by any stretch of the imagination. No,
neither do I. I don't consider myself an academic. But in saying that, now, people can always go back and sit the Leaving Cert as a mature student later on in life.
Absolutely.
There's no written rule that says you have to do it by the time you're 18. That's all gone out with the windows. Can you remember back when we were in school, we used to have the career guidance teacher?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
We had a fella called Harry Spoof was his name. Because every story he told us was a spoof.
Mr. McHugh was our career guidance teacher. Mr. McHugh, I remember it just came to me there, his name. Yep.
But I went in to see him and I told him, I want to be an engineer. You haven't got the balls to be an engineer. That's how he used to speak to us. You can't do this and you can't do that. I went off and I proved him wrong.
Well, hang on. Do me a favour. Stay there a second. Let me just go to Dave as well. Dave, hi, how are you?
What's crack, lad?
Dave, there's a huge amount of pressure on kids nowadays just to go to college for the sake of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think like the idea that you're telling a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds, like, right, you have to pick a career now that's... basically going to be your job for the rest of your life. That's mental. I'm 37. I'm still not 100% sure what I want to do for the rest of my life. You know what I mean?
Now, Dave, we all know what you're like, but in saying that, you know what I mean?
What are we trying to imply there, Mr. Biden?
Today, I think your focus will be on when the kids go to bed, what PlayStation game will I play?
I fucking wish. I haven't picked up a controller in about 6 months. I'll have you know.
Oh, okay. You know. You're lost. Okay.
Cheek of you.
Okay. So, Dave, I mean, is the mother right? Should he stick out another year just to have the bit of paper?
No, I think the father's right. Because, I mean, like, look, like there's still a sense of snobbery around trades and apprenticeships. Like, I mean, I don't really have many things in my life where I look back and kind of have any genuine regrets. But one of them is actually not leaving school when I was 16 and getting an apprenticeship. Like a lot of lads that I would have gone to school did because Like, you think about it, he leaves when he's 16, right? He's already got, like, experience in the world of, you know, mechanics and that kind of stuff through his father. Obviously, he works with his dad. He's a genuine interest. It's not like he's going to become a chippy or a sparky, and then after a year or two go, oh, I don't like this, I'm going to go on the dole. Like, you know, like, the drive to do that is genuinely there. By the time he's 20, he'll be fully qualified.
Mm.
And he can constantly retrain and upskill for the rest of his life. When, if he was to go do his leaving cert, there'll be 2 years of misery, 2 years of fucking teachers going,
You're stupid.
You know, if you fail your leaving cert, we had a teacher before, this is no joke, tell us, but if you fail your leaving cert, your life is practically over.
Right? Oh, yeah.
That is the pressure that they put on them. Then he'll do his leaving, probably won't do great in his leaving, and then there's the embarrassment of his friends going, she's like a 500 pints, I got 450 pints. I can see 200 points. What you get? Do you know what I mean?
And 150. Even if he
even if he doesn't care, that's going to be a knock to his self-esteem. And not even that, but even at the age of 16, going out, getting an apprenticeship, he's getting life experience that a lot of his peers won't get until they're probably in their mid-20s. Because I've seen, like, a lot of people I know who've gone to college, they'll go to college, they'll do their things, they'll drink the shit out of it, you know, all the whole college experience. Then they end up in the real world where all these fucking lofty ideals about, like, how we can change the world and make it a better place,
we've seen that in Trinity College over the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Oh, come here. Listen, I was in a pub there a while back, and there was a bunch of college students sitting beside us, and we were earwigging their conversation, and we were like, oh, God bless you, lads. When you actually enter the job market, it's going to chew you up and spit you out. Yeah. You know? So, no, like, I nearly have more time for the lads who are not academically inclined than these kids with their lofty ideas.
But that's what I'm saying to Carl. Some of the best, most successful people in the world are not academics. You know, there are people who are just very clever.
Yeah, well, no, but see, but that's it. Like, I was horrendous at maths when I was in school.
I loved maths.
I could never handle it. But, like, most of my job is maths and measurements and numbers. And, like, I used to be in school going, when am I ever going to use X, Y, and Z coordinates? Literally every machine that I use and I have to program
has coordinates.
Uses X, Y, and Z coordinates. But I'm the kind of person, like, if you try to teach me off a blackboard or out of a book, it doesn't stick in my head.
Yeah, you need to be in the field. Yeah, you need to be in the field.
Yeah, but if somebody, yeah. But
here's the thing, I've got to say to both of you, I mean, when you look at people who've done apprenticeships, the chippies, the sparks, the plumbers, the plasterers, the brickies, the mechanics, all these people, the manual labourers that have done the apprenticeships going back 20 or 30 years ago, when that was a big thing to do apprenticeships, it's not as big now, sadly. They're the people calling to your door now and talking telephone numbers when you want your bathroom tiled. So they're the ones making money.
Well, sure, I heard a guy recently, he was saying in 10 years' time, a plumber will be the new YouTuber. In other words, they're the ones that are going to be making serious money. And it's true, because it's so hard to get your hands on a tradesperson nowadays. They can call to your door and name a price, and they will get it. You know, so for this guy, for him to be 20 years old, like, when he's in his mid-20s, and not even that, but for the father, he can pass on the family business, or he can start up his own business, and it's even easier for him to survive. Like, for an 18, 19, 20-year-old to get an apprenticeship and then survive on a first or second-year apprentice wage is not easy. So you take that back 2 years when you're 16 and still living at home, you're getting your own money, you're getting your own freedom, you know what it's like to pay taxes, you know, all the real
By the time he's 20, he's going to be on a good wedge as a qualified mechanic. But Carl, so you'd also agree with the dad, you think the dad is right, leave school now, you wouldn't wait the extra year?
No, leave school now, I mean, get your qualifications behind you, you know, and if you want to go out on your own, then, I mean, mechanics engineers are always going to be progressing annually with the new technology that comes on. You might as well move with the flow. Yeah. Make a fortune at it, you know, and it would be a good job and it will stand to him.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Thanks for that, Carl. Let me just go to Lorraine. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Lorraine, if this was one of your kids, and you've got a lot of them, if this is one of your kids, what advice would you give them? Would you kind of get them to stay the extra year in school and finish the leaving cert and then do what you want?
No, school is for some people and it isn't for others. If this was my son, I would say, look, your dad's offering you an apprenticeship. The caller said by the time he's 20, he's going to have he's going to be a fully fledged mechanic. He doesn't like it. What's the point in torturing him for the next 2 years in school when he can go out and work with his dad, earn money and kind of get himself on the ladder? Like, no, if he doesn't, school isn't for everybody and it's not. If he's not into academics, let him go off and go with his dad. It's not like he's going out and sitting on his hole doing nothing.
But her concern is, look, okay, she's all for it. She supports him the whole lot. She agrees he's not an academic. She agrees he's great with his hands. She agrees he should be getting the apprenticeship with his dad. But she's saying, well, look, just wait the year in a bit and do your leaving cert just in case you change your mind in the future. At least you have that bit of paper to fall back on.
But what if he goes and does the leaving cert and fails it absolutely miserably?
Oh, good. Yeah, most likely he will, by the way. Most likely he will. Yeah.
Why put him through that for him to come out and his friends all getting 300, 400 points and he's sitting there with, say, 100 points? That's not good for him either. He's going to sit there and be miserable for the next year. He's not in school. He's already told her he hates it. She hates going. He just doesn't get school. This is my son, and I have one. My stepson is 20 now, and we were going through the same thing. And he went and took 2 years out and then went to college. Like, there's no point in torturing your child because you want them to have a piece of paper. He doesn't want it. He wants to be a mechanic. He wants to go work with his hands. So you can't force
him. I know you're saying that's what he wants, right? But, you know, it is our responsibility, you know, and Dave will be looking at this in a few years' time with his own son who's now getting a bit older.
Okay.
It is our duty and our responsibility to make decisions for them. Because they're incapable of making those decisions at 16 years of age.
I understand that completely, and I get that. As I said, if this was my child and his dad is offered the apprenticeship and he's going out there, he's getting an apprenticeship, he's not sitting scratching his hole looking at me leaving school, I'd say let him off.
I'll give you an example. My son was, before his leaving cert, he was really clever technology. He's into technology, right? And he was offered a job in PayPal before he even left school. And he begged me, could he take this job? It could have been just after he finished school. It could have been before he went to college. And I insisted he went to college. I said, no, you're not taking it. Good money. It was a good job. I insisted he waited. He did the 4 years in college. He's now got an even better job. He earns a lot more than I do. He's got a really good job. He's got a girlfriend, house. So, in other words, it was the right decision not to do it. But if he had his way, he probably would have left school.
He still would have been at PayPal. But it's
and by the way, there's nothing wrong with working at PayPal, by the way. Can I just point out?
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying there is either. Now, what I'm saying is, to my advice, if it was me personally, if one of my kids, like my oldest, my biological oldest child, Freddie, he's 11. He's 11. If he came to me at 16 and said to me, "Mom, I want to leave school. I'm getting an apprenticeship. I can go out and work. I can go out and do this. And I absolutely hate school. I'm miserable. I hate going in. I don't want to be there." I'd say, well, son, off you go.
Well, do me a favour. Stay there for a second, Lorraine and Dave. And Jackie, I'll be with you down in 2 seconds. Just got to go to Anne because I know she's just on a 5 minute break here. Anne, hi, how are you?
No, that's all right. Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Good.
How are you?
How are you doing? And who's right and who's wrong here, mother or father? The father wants him to leave and do the apprenticeship just before he's now, he hasn't even done his leaving cert yet. And the mother wants him to stay for one more year to finish school.
So I've experienced this in my own family, like two of us. So I would side with the mother and I would say to stay.
Okay.
Because I'm a twin and one left and one stayed.
Oh, okay.
When we were only teens and now listen, it's not the results that you think, like, because my sibling is a teacher now. So
okay.
A secondary school teacher and left school at 15.
Okay, but she obviously went back to college then after later in life.
Had to go back,
yeah.
And that made it that little bit harder. So I had to do those courses in the middle to build back up the leave-in and get the subjects, you know, so you have to do a little bit more work. So if you do want to go back and do stuff, it makes that a little bit harder because everyone says, oh, if you want to do this and that, you can go back as a mature student, but this course that you have to do in the meantime, almost like fillers for that leave-in cert that you kind of didn't do at the time. And I stayed. Now, my leave-in cert was... not great, to be honest with you. Both of us were kind of tearaways by the time we were, you know, in our teens. But my leaving cert was okay, but I kind of just fell into a good job.
Yeah.
But with no third level education. So that's kind of where
I am now. By the way, it is hard to go back as a mature student because if you leave school at 15 or 16 and you decide at 24, oh, I don't want to be a mechanic after all. I think I'd like to be a school teacher. And you go back. You've forgotten most of what you've learned in school and you have to you're kind of starting again. Now, I know you're an adult and you have a much more mature mind, but it is difficult to get back into the swing. And Dave, that's the point, Dave. It is like if he changes his mind, Dave, at, 20 and says this mechanic stuff is not for me, he has to go back to college again.
No, that is fair enough. But like the thing is, I mean, look, it was just young people coming up out of the blue. Like, it was my young fella, and he said, I don't want to go to school. I want to become a chippy. And I was like, why? And he's like, I don't know. I think wood is cool. I'm like, yeah, not a hope. You're doing your leaving cert. But, like, this kid, like, he idolizes his dad. Like, it sounds like every spare minute he has, he's, you know, helping his father with cars and stuff like that and the family business. You know, his brother's a panel beater as well. So that's a whole other industry to learn in as well. So it's not necessarily like he's just, oh, I want to get an apprenticeship just cause. Like, it seems like this is something that, you know, it's almost like it's in his blood. You know, it's a family business. It's something that he genuinely has a love for doing.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm understanding what Anne is saying too. And I know she disagrees with you and Lorraine, but I'm understanding what you're saying is, you know, it's only another, like, you've all your life.
It's one more year.
What if he does that extra year or two and then fails his leaving cert?
That's what I was going to say.
But you can do it, but like failing it is not the end of the world either. But the fact that you've stayed the extra mile and did that 1 year, it might seem like an eternity to a teenager, but to us, looking at them, we're like, listen, you've got one more year. You can just stick it out, give it your best for one more year. He might want to go into college and be an engineer. If he's that passionate about cars and mechanics and all this kind of thing, you know, I'm not saying he has to be. I didn't do college, so I'm not saying you have to go to college. I'm quite happy in my job for a long time. But I'm just saying like that, when they're young like that, I just think they do need a little bit of a push. I feel you can't give up on them and go, pack it in.
Hang on to all of you, because if you can stay there just for a second, Anne. I want to go to Jackie as well. He's been waiting ages. Sorry, Jackie. Hi.
Hi, and everyone is making some great points, and it's very difficult to know the answer to this without knowing the actual teenager involved. But my view is I'd be kind of going with the mother, in a sense that if you start something, finish it. And then the other way of looking at it is give him that extra time, because he might find something else, like where he could go out on and be a mechanic, as in air, you know, in with airplanes, or look at the army and learn some engineering on a totally different side of things. But give him that freedom for himself, just because once he gets into the work, into working full time, that's it. You're thrown into it. Whereas now he has that bit of freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that bit of freedom. But start, finish what you started. Get that over the line. And that's a very important thing to instill into any teenager or any person going to school is, right, you have so many years here, finish it. And then everything in your life, if you start something, finish it.
The only thing I will agree with Lorraine and Dave on is there's an overemphasis nowadays on kids going to college, finishing the leaving cert, going to college. When I was a kid, that wasn't the case, Jackie. I don't know how old the rest of you are here, right?
But I'm 100%.
I'm the oldest here, I think.
When I never do my leaving cert, my mum and dad told me it's just a piece of paper. It's not the be all and end all of your life.
I was the same.
Paper at the end of the day, either.
I remember it was a big deal. When I was doing it, you had the group cert in second year. You won't remember this. It was called the group cert, and the group cert were for the kids who weren't academics and were going to leave school at 16. Then you had the inter cert, which is now called the junior cert, and then you had the leaving cert, obviously in sixth year or fifth year, depending on which school you went, if you had career guidance or whatever in the middle, right, or whatever they call it nowadays. Anyway, the point is that there was no emphasis on college. In my class of, 40 kids, I think two kids went to college, because college in those days you had to pay for, right? We didn't have the money. Nobody had the money. It was only when they brought in the free education then later in life. So the point is, they all got good jobs. I know a lot of the lads that I went to school with now are working in good jobs. Some of them have their own businesses.
Yeah.
So this emphasis on the amount of kids that go into college nowadays to do arts, engineering, which are the two biggest dropout courses, right? And then they drop out after a year and a half because they've really no interest in it. The only reason they're doing it is because you're expected to do it. It's like points are like a currency nowadays. You're just kind of expected to do these things. And we've abandoned the traditional jobs, which we really need people in. You know, we can see that from construction because we've no bloody houses. So we've abandoned all the traditional jobs. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think we need to get back to basics. But I do believe, Dave and Lorraine, the Leaving Cert is important. I think it's a milestone because it's a milestone in education where you're mature enough to make decisions. I'm not saying...
I'm going to compromise with you. rather than doing the traditional leaving cert, would he look into maybe doing the leaving cert applied? If he's miserable and doesn't want to do the traditional leaving cert, would he look into maybe doing the leaving cert applied?
Well, that's an option, isn't it? Because it's slightly easier. Yeah. Sorry, Jackie.
Sorry, Niall. And another thing, just remember where this whole, the mechanics, you know, like say car mechanics and the car industry is going. We're going over to a different, you know, electric cars. We'd be looking at hydrogen cars. It's all changing. So, you know, that whole industry will be changing as well.
And by the way, part of having an apprenticeship nowadays, years ago when you did an apprenticeship, you just stayed the whole time in the garage and you learned, right, of whoever was teaching you. Nowadays, apprenticeships are much different. You do spend some time in college as well, you know, so you go back and forward and do the theory and all that kind of stuff. So you are right. The cars are changing. You've got the electrics, the hybrids. They probably be in the future. You've got hydrogen. And if you look about, say, 15 years in the future, we're going to have probably nuclear-powered cars, atomic cells.
Yeah.
That's the future of driving. Yeah. By the way, can I just point out, can we all just agree, the EVs as they currently stand are not the future of motoring. Because I can tell you now, we've seen a huge 42% drop in sales this year already because people are sick of them. People are not into the inconvenience of sitting in a garage waiting 45 minutes or an hour for the thing to charge or charging it overnight and all this kind of car.
Niall, I also was driving one and it wouldn't stop. I almost killed someone in an EV.
What happened?
The van. I won't even say the company now, but I was driving an EV van, and something happened where when I was tipping the accelerator to move, it was rocketing forward. So then I was trying to brake, and it was speeding up. So I was able to. I was on a narrow road as well, so there was nowhere to pull in.
Yeah.
So I was, and it was going fast. So I managed to swing it into a garage, like sideways. A guy ran out of my way.
Oh my God!
I had to call my company, and tell them what happened. And then they got onto this main dealer who deals with them.
Yeah.
And they said, like, don't drive it anymore. I said, look, it's sideways and in a shop, in a car park.
Right.
And they said, don't drive it anymore. We're going to have to get it towed. And then he said, that happens with them sometimes.
That happens with them sometimes.
He said, that happens with them sometimes. If you tap the accelerator and the brake, if they're tapped at the same time, it can do something to the
electronics,
signals, like
yeah.
the wiring. And then he said, really, all what it needs to rejig that again is plug it in overnight. And I was like, well, I'm only halfway through working. It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Jesus. I couldn't sit in the car after it's done something like that.
No. Yeah. They just had to get me another one. I literally, it was speeding down the road. Do you know what it was like? What? It was like the Father Ted.
I was just going to say, Dougal on the milk float has just got into my head.
It was more like the Father Ted and the milk float than, you know, Keanu Reeves and the sports, whatever the hell they were in.
Oh, no. Here's the thing.
Pull beside me.
In the old days, if that had happened in the old days, right, say you had a dodgy throttle cable, a sticking throttle cable, right, all you had to do is pull the handbrake. You know what I mean? But they don't even have handbrakes on them anymore. So,
you can see the power dropping when you have the heating on in the winter. And then if you haven't charged the night before, it's like, oh, Jesus, you can't use the radio today now, or the heaters. And it's
I couldn't be arsed.
Like,
oh, no, I couldn't be dealing with it.
It's like you don't have the range to get back to the office.
I know we're going off the subject slightly, but I had a loan of three of them, by the way, last year and the year before. The car companies gave them to me, so I'd say nice things on Twitter about them. And I got a loan of them, each one of them, for a week. And don't get me wrong, fun to drive. There were BMWs, two of them, and one was a Tesla. They were fun to drive. But I couldn't be dealing with the situation of trying to charge them. I arrived in an Apple Green one day because they've got the decent charger, which is a little bit quicker, right? And when I arrived at the charging point, there was two lads on the ground fighting over who was there first for the charger. I said, I'm not dealing with this.
And going up a hill, your foot would nearly go through the slipping bottom of the van trying to get some power to just get up it, you know. Maybe it's a star van.
Yeah, well, anyway, the point I was making was Jackie was talking about the future of motoring, somebody was mentioning about learning about, you know, cars and how they're developing. And it'll be good for them because they are developing. But I guarantee you, the current model of EVs, this long charging and all this, is not the future of motoring. It is not the future of motoring. And sadly for those people who've already purchased EVs, I know this is really sad to say, a lot of them can't sell them again. The depreciation is mental on them. They're losing like 50% after 3 years. A lot of garages now...
5 years on the battery.
Yeah, a lot of garages now refusing to take them as trade-ins, you know, which is not a good thing. Some still are, but some of them are not taking them as trade-ins. You know, it's not good. It just isn't good. I think what happened was... we jumped into the technology. We don't want to use fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera. And we jumped into this technology too quickly when it just wasn't ready yet. And I think we kind of forced ourselves into it. Like we did when we moved away from records to CDs. Do you remember that? That whole thing. Oh, CDs are the future. Look, they don't scratch. But then we found out they did actually scratch, right? And they did, and they all start jumping. And then we moved from that very quickly then into, you know, solid state, which is, you know, MP3 players, etc. Because we knew CDs weren't the answer either. So, you know, I think it's a short stay. I don't think the EV is going to be with us for long, the current EV. And thank you for that. No, you're on your break there. Thanks very much. Thanks. Stay there, Lorraine and Jackie. Let me just go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Maureen, okay, getting back to this young fella. Should he stay in school for one more year? Anne says yes. Jackie says yes. Lorraine says no.
No. I say no.
Yes.
Let him work with his dad.
Yeah.
Because, look, not every student is academically minded.
No.
Some students are brilliant with their hands.
Yeah.
Look, I wanted to go to college too, but I did my junior cert, it was called, in my day. And I went back into fifth year. But you see, I began to geek up because I'd even said it to a few teachers. I wanted to study English and history. And that's what I would have done if I'd got into college. But I couldn't understand why I needed geography and maths and science and something else. I would never use them.
Yeah, a lot of stuff you learn in school you will never use in your life.
Yeah, never use. I wouldn't have used them what I wanted to do.
Yeah, but the problem with education is it has to be a blunt instrument for everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I know, but that's where I was kicking up because I had a way, I suppose, look, I was thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if I'd been just allowed, if it was a case that I said, okay, but just leave you with that. Well, I'd have sat in school 6 days a week to study English and history and would have gone into university.
Mm.
But so I left school in fifth year. I just couldn't be bothered with it because I knew I wasn't going to get into a college because the other subjects didn't interest me.
Jackie, sorry, just to come back to Jackie. Jackie, do you think there's too much pressure on students to go to college nowadays?
100%. I think that the whole college thing is kind of, it's overemphasized. And it puts so much pressure on parents and households, you know, to try and get their kids into college.
It's just like the done thing, isn't it? It's just like you don't not do it. Yeah.
Oh, no, I totally agree that look, once you get your leaving cert, well, you know, if you know exactly what you want and whatever, go for it. But you don't have to go out to college or whatever and that you're going to get the best job. That's not the case.
I have to say, Carol made a good suggestion, I think, earlier on there, or Dave, which is when they finish school, let them take a year off. Think about what you're going to do. If you've got the money to do that and you can afford to sustain them and give them a few quid, let them take a year off and even do a little part-time job or something.
Yeah, but to have TY, and my lad is in TY now at the minute, so it takes the pressure off before you get...
Yeah.
Down to the series.
TY is amazing, by the way. TY is great. Well,
TY is an amazing year, but trying to get back into your leaving cert and back into studying after TY, and I know from my own personal experience, is so hard.
But that depends on the school. Some schools are good at TY,
yes,
and they have, you know, academics within the TY, whereas some schools, it's a DOS year. So
I was just going to say, at my school, it was a DOS year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the TY, my son benefited greatly from transition year. Really bad.
About 6 months to get back into studying after doing TY.
He was the quietest child. He didn't want to talk to anybody. He was very, I'm not going to say antisocial, but wasn't good at socializing. And he did TY, and it just brought him out of himself. And he just became this wonderful communicator because of TY, because he was told to set up a bank and he was the bank manager and he had to do the software for it. And the other kids were the bank assistants and all sort of marketing. And it was brilliant.
We use it as a DOS. We used it as a dossier to do nothing.
Sadly, me and Maureen probably never experienced transition year.
But Niall, can I just come in there just one second?
Yeah, yeah.
It's my granddaughter now. She's 12. But she still, like, she loves watching detective stories and all this kind of thing. And she wanted to be a detective, you see. So her mother is adamant that when she finishes school, she's going to be guard.
Yeah. Okay.
But she's a fantastic artist.
Well,
she can design clothes. Mm-hmm. She can design a room for you. She can do all these cartoons. She could be a cartoonist. So I'm trying to steer her to keep up your art, get into an art college. Because I said to her, Charlie's her name. I said, Charlie, that's where the money is. I said, you're a fantastic artist. Don't throw it away.
And you know what the other thing they could do if you want to be a detective, a private detective, by the way, you don't have to really go to the guards to be a detective. You can be a private detective. I think that was a job I'd always have liked to do myself, to be honest with you. I find it intriguing. David, hi. How are you, David?
Hi, I'm great. Yeah.
Okay, David, what do you think? Should he hang on in?
I think he's being failed by the schools and the school system. The school system is set up for teachers, for the benefit of teachers. It's not set up for the benefit of the students. The schools should be split into academic and vocational.
Yeah. No, I agree. There are always going to be those students who are really clever, and they're academically, and there's those students who are not as clever academically, but might be brilliant at art, or might be brilliant at woodwork or mechanics or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. With the school I was at, we had one lad was called Palmer, Jonathan Palmer, and he became a Formula One driver.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And he turned up in school at a school sort of. Open day for parents with a full-on 2,000 cc race car, grass track race car, which he'd made at home. So you know, we had the metal workshop where we'd all done our chisels and our whatever cold chisels in the forge, and he had this frigging car. different kids have different abilities and different interests. Now, what Jonathan actually needed in his education was the business side of it to sort of support his ambition to become a racing driver.
Yeah.
And how to
get the sponsorship, etc. Yeah, of course.
All of that. So if there had been teachers who could have done that, he would have been advanced in his career.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm suggesting is that, and this is where it's going to fall down, most teachers don't actually have a degree in the subject they teach. They haven't even been asked. They've got a teacher qualification, but they don't have a quality degree.
I would agree with you, and I'd say this to both of you as well, Jackie and Lorraine. I know a person who's a school teacher, and he's as thick as a plank. I swear to God,
they've gone along to teacher training college, and they've got a teacher training qualification, and now they're trying to teach people.
But I know more than this guy. Now, he teaches primary school, which is not the most taxing on the mind, but he's in primary school. But in saying that, he's thick. He hasn't got a clue. Like, I know more than he does.
At that age, if the children were facing somebody who was generally inspiring in their subject and inspired by their subject, those children would be switching on and copping on to school big time.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, Jackie, what was your experience in school? Were your teachers, were they good enough to teach you?
Some were, and then some just... They were very intelligent, but didn't have the knack of teaching.
Yeah.
Of getting it across. And another thing, which I often discussed with different people, teachers and that, there's no kind of system of being able to teach the kids how to learn, how to actually go about from primary school into secondary school. And then it's a completely different way of working. And they don't actually prepare kids for that. It's how to study, how to create a routine, which I would classes you think would be logical, that once you go into school and say, well, no, okay, this is how you go about your homework, and this is why you, the reason for the homework, and create these kind of, how would you say, modules or whatever for people to learn how to learn and how to work within the school system.
Mm.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at most of our parents, you know, they were clever people. My dad was a very clever man. He was very he had a good engineering mind. He built an extension at the back of our house on his own. You know what I mean? In those days, that was a kind of done thing with no planning permission. He built an extension. And, like, he left school at 13. You know what I mean? And he had beautiful handwriting. When he left school, he told me he couldn't read and write. But yet, in later years, he had beautiful handwriting and he could read and write. He obviously learned as the years went on. But it just goes to show you that college education, he did very well, by the way, in life. He was... my father originally played for Home Farm, and then he became a referee, and then he was an international referee, then he was senior counsel on the Football Association of Ireland. And he also then worked in Aer Lingus as well. But in saying that, he did really well in life, and he earned good money most of his life, and he left school at 13 years of age. Now, I know I'm not suggesting kids nowadays should be leaving school at 13 years of age. I think we know better than that. But in saying that, some kids, I suppose, David, are just not cut out for academics.
Absolutely right. So they should be in vocational education. But that's where the problem comes, because people in vocational, there isn't a teacher. I would suggest there are very few teachers who have any vocational abilities.
Mm.
The teachers are not... They teach because that's all they can do. They don't teach because they know the subject or can, you know, those that can do and those that can't teach. It's so true.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the school I went to, if you look at the UK, and I can talk more about that, the top schools in the UK, their teachers do not have teacher training qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
The schools that perform most highly in the academic world, in the UK, the teachers do not have teacher training qualifications. They have top degrees from top universities. They are inspiring people, inspired by their own subject, who interest children to cop onto their topics, and they learn the teaching side of it when they actually start working at the school. The school supports them in such a way that they learn the teaching on the job, as it were.
Yeah, I would say the same. One of my best friends, actually, he's as thick as a plank. But in saying that, I don't think he had a great formal education, junior cert or leaving cert. The man is a genius on computers. Yeah. Absolute genius on computers. And he would... program anything, make a website, you know, set up servers, electronics, plugging in wires, wherever it needs to be plugged in. A genius, but no formal education or no degrees, no nothing, but would bypass anybody probably working in Microsoft or any of those other kind of places. Yeah. He would do anything.
But people like that, I would say he's certainly not somebody who should be teaching, because
he couldn't teach. No, I tell you why he couldn't teach, because he'd lose the rag. He it would frustrate him. He doesn't like stupid people.
I believe there's a particular ADHD. A lot of people who are very good with computers.
Yeah,
they can only work in a darkened room where they have no people contact. They have no social skills whatsoever.
Yeah, you're describing my friend. Yeah, we only talk on the phone. We tend not to meet in person because we box the head off each other. We only talk on the phone all the time. But in saying that, that's him. He's in his bedroom on his computer all the time doing work for people. And by the way, making money out of that. But doing work for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bill Gates. I would say Bill Gates is probably in that category. All these...
Steve Jobs, I mean, look at Elon Musk. I mean, we all know Elon Musk. You know, he's not academically a genius, but the man has so much common sense when it comes to running business, clearly, because he's the richest man in the world. And he's a good man to delegate to others to make money for him. But stay there for a second, because I want to go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Bernie, well done, by the way. You travelled all the way from Galway to the protest yourself and Anthony yesterday, by the way. Well done.
Yes, and we it was like having your lease. It was like having a Brad Pitt poster. Oh, jeez, I love it. That's all.
Oh, you had leaflets, the Niall Boylan leaflets, with you?
Yeah. they were going, oh, jeez, I love him. I love him. He doesn't talk to me anymore, but I love him. I love listening to him. So you're very popular.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you.
Niall, if you don't get in, I swear to God, there's something wrong, because everybody loved you. One person was a bit out, but that was the rest of them were fantastic.
I was giving up myself and numerous times over the week. And I think I've only got one person said something really nasty to me. Well, when I say nasty, I was walking past, I was handing them out to everybody. And everybody was like the same. Oh, Niall, yeah, I listen to the radio all the time. And one person handed me went, bleeding fascist. Right, okay, whatever floats your boat, pal. but thank you very much indeed, Bernie, and thank you to everybody. I'll talk about that a bit later on, who volunteered to help.
It's a privilege to do it for you, honestly.
Thank you very much indeed, Bernie. And now, Bernie, getting back to the mother and father, who's right and who's wrong? Should the kids stay in school for the extra year, do his leaving cert?
Okay, so I'd be on the fence here. I would say I was talking to my daughter and she was saying, well, just finish the leaving cert. He can always do the trade at the weekend with his dad and then go into it full time. The piece of paper, unfortunately, in this day and age kind of means something to everyone. My own father never had a piece of paper and he did fantastic in life and I'm very proud of what he achieved from having nothing and very simple. But that's not the way of the modern age today. You need the piece of paper, even though nobody asks you for it. Nobody really ever asks you.
No, I've never been asked for me leaving cert since I've left school, I think. I don't think anyone's ever asked me for it.
No, and I think maybe one job, maybe that was it. But to be fair, you know, I'd love to say give up your job, give up your school and go to do the trade full time. It's with your dad. It's fantastic to learn from your father. I think that's the one. I'd love to be an age to learn things from my dad, you know, that I didn't bother.
Yeah.
But I think it is nice that that trade will always be there for him to learn. So maybe just do the leaving cert and just then go in with his dad. Mm. So that, you know, and nobody, I know, I wouldn't have stuck college.
Yeah.
But
Lorraine is saying, why stick around for another year when he's probably going to fail the leaving cert anyway?
And be miserable.
But just the fact that, I know, I appreciate that, but can he do the trade of the weekend and see what he thinks?
Well, he's already doing that, isn't he? Yeah, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I 100% get where you're coming from and saying he should go into. But what happens if he gets really depressed in this year of school and doesn't want to be there? Absolutely hates it. And when you're giving them the opportunity, it was me personally, I personally would turn around and any of my kids said that to me and I knew they were going to get depressed. And he sounds like he just hates it. He's not academic. Son, you're getting an apprenticeship. He's not sitting scratching his hole looking at her. He's getting an apprenticeship. He's going to be a qualified mechanic by the time he's 20.
Yeah, like I can see your side, Lorraine, perfectly. But my own husband didn't do his leaving cert. He left at 14 or 15. And
my husband didn't do his either.
And then when he got to, the kids were born and he was going, Jesus, I don't have, you know, they're saying, he felt he was not educated enough to teach, he was a great father to them, do you know what I mean? He was great to teach them everything, he had great patience. But he did go back and do two subjects, just to give himself the fact that he had something from a leaving cert, and it made him feel a lot happier in the world, if that makes any sense to you.
Oh no, I get that 100%. I 100% get where you're coming from, and fair play to your husband for going back to doing it. But my point with this is, he sounds like he just doesn't get school, he doesn't want school, he doesn't want to be there. What if he goes back for the year and he ends up severely depressed or ends up, I'm not saying this is the way he is, what if he ends up severely depressed and ends up just chucking everything away because he was forced to do something he didn't want to do?
By the way, you do know that Albert Einstein, who's obviously noted as being one of the cleverest people ever in the world, said academia interfered with his education.
Education, yeah.
Yeah, and like I wasn't a great student myself, and I just, you know, cobbled it together because I was the oldest and I had to show something. But I mean, in hindsight now, I've learned a lot more from other people than I did in books, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and I believe you. And I'm not just saying this, but I blow my own trumpet. I probably think that I'm cleverer than many people who've gone to college. But I always say to people when I'm talking about, you know, stuff that I've done on the radio over the years, I know a lot. I know a little about a lot. I don't know a lot about a little. But I know a little about it a lot.
I mean, I definitely get the poor child. I understand. And it's such, you know yourself today, it's so, did you do your leaving cert? It's nearly like a badge of honour. I did the frigging thing. You know, I mean, I wish there was another way of marking chip people, because so many people have such amazing skills that don't ever show up in education. Do you know, there's so many things that people can do that they...
The Leaving Cert Applied is more project-based and more hands-based because my two sisters did it. They were totally against doing the Leaving Cert, didn't want to do it. Now, I had to because I was the oldest. But then when it came to the two of them, it's more project-based. You're more... Maybe that could be... If she's adamant for him to do his Leaving Cert, would that not maybe be an option for her to get him to do that side of it?
In a sense that it's more project-based, you're right.
Project-based, and it's more, you're working with your hands, you're doing more stuff like that, you're not just sitting in a classroom reading a book.
And it is also based on assessment more so rather than an exam at the
end.
You
don't sit down and do an exam. You're not sitting there for 3 hours doing an exam. You're based on your project.
Yeah.
So that maybe could be an option. If she's adamant for him to do it, maybe that's an avenue for her to look down.
Sorry, Bernie.
That's a really good point. That's a very good idea. That would appeal to me doing my Leaving Cert all those years ago. Do you know, Jesus, when you think of doing the Irish, remember the old Irish, you nearly get banned.
Oh, you hated that. And the beep.
I remember the anxiety I used to have over Irish and French as well, because I was never good at languages. And the anxiety I had in the school, I can still remember the sunny day in the school hall with like 200 of us all sitting there and the guy at the top watching everybody, making sure that we weren't writing answers on our rulers, because that's what we used to do. You'd write all the answers on your ruler before you'd go in, or up your sleeve. The girls, by the way, were well known for writing their answers on the tie, on their tie. So they could pull their skirt down over it, right? Because they know nobody would look there. So we used to write it on our wrist, the inside of our wrist, our ruler. You'd have the smallest writing on your ruler. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but now we all discussed our open, when we're all being open about how we actually did it, you can understand how people would be traumatised, you know, because we all suffered. It's not the easiest thing to do.
Did you cheat, Bernie? Did you cheat during your exams?
No.
Lorraine, did you? You did, Lorraine, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I did. I had a little piece of paper shoved up my tie.
I was back in the 70s, like the nuns that had killed you. They were walking up and down like...
I know. I had a Christian brother. I did my Leaving Cert in 1979, I think. Brothers that murdered you.
I did 76.
Okay, let me go to another person who probably cheated at her exams. Angela, hi, how are you?
How's it going?
did you cheat, Angela?
I didn't cheat in the exam, obviously, because I failed it.
Right. And if you did cheat, you put the wrong answers on the ruler.
yeah, exactly. I was that bad. But I did do something to get a job. I actually forged my Leaving Cert results. Right?
I don't encourage people to do this in a modern age, but in those days it was quite common for people to do stuff like that.
But you know what the thing was? It was to get into the prison service.
Right. Okay. So you forged a Leaving Cert certificate.
Yeah.
Okay.
To get into it. And fair dues now. They rang me. They sent me a letter and I rang them and I said, can I come up and meet you? And they were like, yeah, do you know what this is about? I was like, yeah. So I met them because I'd gone through everything and I passed everything. The interview, the exam, all of that.
Yeah.
And they said, listen, we basically, long story short, we know what you did. And they said, okay, listen, we've been on to the prison service because it's public jobs. And they were like, all they need you to do is resit your Irish and stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, you did that, did you?
You know, no, I met my husband, so that was it then. It all went out the window.
Oh, right, okay.
But you know what? It just kind of, you know, in one way it goes to prove that, like, I passed everything else.
Mm.
What the feck had my Irish got to do with it? You know, you're hardly going to be turning around to prisoners and going, Sigitius, Mati Dole, well, Clarigum, Dolomacum, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
But it was at one stage, it was a requirement for jobs like that. I don't think it is now, actually. You can have, I don't think it's the same requirement. Same with the guards.
It wasn't actually, it kind of comes and goes because 10 years before that, you didn't need it. Then it came in that you did.
Yeah.
Then it went out that you didn't need it again.
Well, a lot of those jobs have now changed to not just Irish, that you, unless specifically you need Irish, like an Irish school teacher or something. A lot of those jobs now, you just need another language.
Yeah, that's it. Like,
okay, but getting back to this particular kid, should he stay in school for the year?
No. Well, what I would do is, this happened with my brother. And after his enter cert at the time, he went and got a summer job. The guy who owned the place offered him an apprenticeship, and it's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So my parents went and had a chat with the school. And the school turned around and said, let him do it.
Right.
Now, I don't think it was a thing that they were saying, Jesus, he's thick and he won't get through. Because, I mean, he does multiple exams now to do with his job and that, and he's really good. But they said, listen, this is what he wants to do. The apprenticeship is there. Why put it off for 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, and he's gone on. So he was an apprentice fitter, then he was a fitter, then he was this, then he was that, then he was an aircraft mechanic, then he, you know, it all progressed for him. But what if I was the parents, what I would actually do is I'd go and have a chat with the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I definitely go, because they're the ones who will know most.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones who know the child the most. Like, you can sit there and go, oh, he's this or he's that. But the school will know whether he has the ability to go in, sit down and study for the next year or
well,
so.
Well, Lorraine makes a good point in relation to the academic end of it. He could do the Leaving Cert Applied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, I don't agree, I can't remember who said it earlier on there, that, you know, oh, Jesus, it's all about you're Leaving Cert now and that's what jobs they're looking for. It's actually not. It's actually not, because a lot of them would be looking for VTEC courses, for, you know, level 5 VTEC, level 6. You know, it's not, and the amount of pressure put on kids now, it's just...
I know, college and all that kind of stuff and courses are like currency now to getting jobs, which is really unfortunate for a lot of kids. But do me a favour, stay there for a second.
I knew.
Yeah, go on.
I knew the second that I started play school that I'd be finished after school. I was like, I'm done with this learning crap thing, you know. And the other thing that my mom would say is, she'd turn around and she'd go, she never understood why they never put books as music, because you can remember every song going back through school, but you couldn't tell me when World War One started.
Well,
you knew every song.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Generally speaking in life, you probably don't need to know when World War One started. But stay there for a second, Angela. Let me just go to Lewis as well. Lewis, hi. How are you?
Hi, Noel. I am great. How are you?
Good.
How are you doing, calling me?
Nice to talk to you again, Lewis. It's wonderful to have you on. Now, Lewis, you think he shouldn't bother with the Leaving Cert because nobody's going to ask for it anyway.
No one is. Like, Noel, like, I'm 21 and, like, I didn't do my Leaving Cert because I was in a special needs school. Like, I was in an autism school. Like, myself and my friend, like, we're both in an autism school. Like, it was St. Michael's School, Pony Angels, Chapel Lizard.
Yeah.
And they do PQI. Basically, you just do the juniors work, that's it.
Yeah.
Hi.
And just, like, PQI results you get.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, and I think, personally, like, I think you don't need Leaving Cert, like, these days. Like, Leaving Cert points, like, a job won't ask you first these days.
Well, I suppose it depends on the job, doesn't it? They don't. Well, jobs don't generally ask for Leaving Cert, but they do. And some jobs require college education and college, you know, degrees and stuff like that, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But, like, no, did you have to get a college degree to get into radio?
No.
Like when you worked in radio? No. Because you worked in a part of radio station
but it is different nowadays, Lewis. I'm wrong. I'm lying to you here now. Because I can tell you now, most of the clever people that I know, even coming into radio now, weren't in college.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah.
Like, none of the radio presenters didn't go to college. Like,
some of them did. They went to Ballyfermot and if you'd done Leary and a few other places, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but I could name the ones like that years now well.
Yeah, most of the ones that you would know from the radio and from TV probably never went to college. No.
Like Stephen Cooper didn't go to college at all.
Yeah,
like,
I know Stephen well. I don't know whether Stephen went to college, but I don't know whether he did or not. But in saying that, yeah, I know Stephen, the Cooper man.
Yeah. I personally think that it's harder for children these days because their parents want them to do good, like, in their Leaving Cert. And, like, I think, like, their parents didn't do good. Like, some of their parents are just hoping that they do well so they can make more money for their parents as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I know you didn't do your Leaving Cert as such, but will you do a college course, or can you do a college? Is there a college course you can do?
I've done a college course, Access Introduction in NLN, okay. in Ballyferm, the National Learning Network.
Yeah.
It's all around Dublin and stuff. Like, it's for people that have ADHD or autism, anything like
yeah.
whatever, dyslexia, anything. It's there for anyone that wants to do it at the age of 16. They can go in there from the age of 16 until they're 22 or 25.
Well,
or
there should 30. Be, I mean, there is, I mean, I know you said you have autism and there's no barriers. Well, there certainly shouldn't be barriers now to people being successful in life, because we've seen the most successful people in the world. Many of them, like, by the way, have autism, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, Niall, I personally think, like, some people, like, these days don't realise, like, the effect, like, what autism is, like, because I went for a job interview, like, before, and, like, I told them that I had autism, and they said that they don't allow people to work there with disabilities.
What?
They don't allow people to work there with disabilities.
They don't allow people to, now don't mention the name of the place, but they don't allow people to work there with disabilities. That wouldn't go down too well yeah. nowadays. Yeah.
That's what he says, like, to me. Like, I asked him, well, why did I not get a job? He said, we don't allow people to work there with any form of disabilities.
Well, I could understand a job saying you don't have the qualification for the job. That's fair enough. But to say that we don't let people with disabilities work here, I think you would have a good case for discrimination.
Oh, my God, yeah. Discrimination big time.
Absolutely, Lewis. I'd look into that one if I was you. I mean, if they said you don't have the qualifications, that's fine. I could live with that. But to say that we don't allow people to work here with a disability, you're looking at a court case there, Lewis, to be honest with you.
Like, you can't. Oh, my God.
That's crazy, like, Lewis.
Let's say if you were a bricklayer and you had, you know, autism, or you were, do you know what I mean? Like, what's that got to do? How's that going to prevent you from laying bricks?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's oh my God, yeah, I'd definitely go back. I'd get that in writing first.
Yeah, get it in writing and then take a court case against them.
Big time.
Oh, I would, no.
Yeah. I'm looking here, by the way, famous people with autism, right? I'm just looking here. Dan Aykroyd, Albert Einstein, Daryl Hannah, the actress, yeah. Anthony Hopkins, the actor, Tim Burton, yeah. the movie director, Henry Cavendish, the scientist. And of course, Elon Musk more recently as well, who suffers from Asperger's, isn't it? I think he has.
Asperger's.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg has Asperger's.
He's the most highly intelligent yeah. people. You know, that's.
You don't write people off.
I can guarantee you they're 1,000,000,000% more freaking, do you know what I mean, intelligent than I am. Jesus, I'm nearly 50. I still don't know what I want to do with my life. Like, I mean, seriously.
There you go. I didn't know, by the way, that Dan Aykroyd had autism. I was aware of some of the. Yeah. I knew about Albert Einstein and Tim Burton, but I didn't know about Dan Aykroyd. Lewis, thank you very much indeed. Take a court case, Lewis, I would say. Let me just go to Karen. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Karen, get back to the original question. Should he stay in school for another year and basically finish off his leaving cert?
Well, I would agree with the father, and I would say if the chap... Well, first of all, how would I put it? If the chap is not capable of doing the leaving cert and he's going to fail and he really is not academic in any sense at all, that poor chap, get him out of school and get him into a trade and let him start working with his father, and he can mentor him and get a trade for himself, and then he will always have that for life. However, if it's a case of he's a little bit lazy, doesn't want to put in the studies, one more year ahead, he's looking at the climb he's got to do, and the mother could, and the parents could realistically get a pass out of him, then I would keep him in school.
Right.
But yeah,
you're kind of sitting on the fence here, Karen.
If it was up to me, like, for example, I've got two daughters. One is just after, one did a leaving last year, and I was adamant she was doing the leaving cert. Now she was capable of doing the leaving cert. She's now her first year down in university.
Is that the daughter I met at the event last week?
Emily, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Looks like a bright young lady.
She's almost now.
Yeah.
She's studying out them. She's on her study period at the minute. She's doing her final exams now. They begin Friday and then some next week as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So from that point of view, I would, and my other lady is in secondary school, I'd be pushing her. There'd be no such thing as walking out of school without a leaving cert. Absolutely not. But I have seen, so I know somebody, for example, dyslexic. Went to secondary school, did the junior certificate. No problem, passed it. Now, didn't get brilliant, but passed it and got everything. Wants to become, then went into leaving. Then, no, the biggest mistake the mother made was put them into TY. Now, I know you said earlier on that TY is brilliant, but in this
depending on the school, yeah.
Yeah, TY was terrible because all of a sudden then he went from TY to doing feck all, basically, went into fifth year, and from September in fifth year until February the following year, he left.
Yeah.
Hated it, wouldn't go, no interest, and left. Now, he went into an apprenticeship, and now he's in college. He's doing a welding apprenticeship. So, you know, you got to do the practical and the theory end of it. And the young fella's getting on great. Absolutely brilliant. He's never looked back. But that young fella, if he's not academic at all, they could get him out of school because, as Lorraine said earlier on, he'll end up being depressed. Get him out of school. But if there's something in him, if there's a leaving cert in him and he can get a pass, I would be on the mother's side, and I would encourage him to stay. I'd really like to know how good or bad is he.
Yeah.
That would be mine.
Yeah.
But if he's not, I would get him out. I would absolutely. And college is not for everybody. If you look,
no, it's not.
Look at college participation as well. I mean, particularly for men. Men are going to college, spending 4 years in college, getting a degree. I mean, they come out, they're not much more on the average industrial wage anyway, after 4 years in college. Or, for example, you can look at a mechanic. I was looking at the mechanic. The mechanic figures. A mechanic earns $21.79 per hour. That's now according to Google. And that's an average salary of $42,500 a year. That's a mechanic. Now, you tell me how many young fellas come out of a four-year degree and walk straight in. Some of them walk into these admin jobs, and they're not. They're around the 35K mark.
Yeah.
So they spent 4 years in college with a leaving cert. I've got a degree, but you only need to earn 35K.
But if you did an apprenticeship as a plumber or an electrician, I know a plumber. Yeah, friend of mine, and he's driving a brand new Mercedes. He earns more money than I do, and he's a plumber.
Yeah, if I had a son, I would be encouraging him to go to be either a plumber or an electrician. That's what I would encourage them to do. And then obviously, because look at the demand that's there for them. That's what happened, you see.
It's massive. Most
of the girls would have went into the admin side of it. Most guys years ago then would have went down the practical apprenticeship route. And all of a sudden then we look down upon these young chaps coming out of school and walk into apprenticeships. All of a sudden, you weren't seen successful enough unless you went on to third level. And all of a sudden, we had this massive influx of people going into third level education. Half of them out with degrees, they're not worth to shite, forgive my language.
Well, see, there's so many of them now. So many want to sit behind a keyboard, right? And they're doing these, you know, computer science courses and all this. And the problem is, if everybody is going to go for these STEM subjects and for these, or should I say, these, you know, technology subjects, well, you're going to have too many people and not enough jobs. And now we have a massive shortage of people then doing the practical stuff like bricklaying or engineering or, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, plastering, plumbing, electricians. We have a huge lack of people doing those things.
Yeah. So we have, and also, well, with the emergence of AI, an awful lot of admin work, like my own daughter was considering going down the accountancy work. But then her only problem is, would she end up not being able to get a job because of AI? Mm. But for example, like, regardless of that, we're always going to need a plumber. We're always going to need a mechanic. We're always going to need an electrician. We're always going to need these tradesmen. And I think we should be putting a bigger focus on young men coming out of school and getting into a trade, because that's where the money is and that's where the demand is.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Sarah. Yeah, well, hang on, Karen. Sarah, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall? What's the story?
Okay, who do you agree with, the mother or the father?
Well, do you know what? I'd agree with the mother on this occasion. Just like 6 months is not going to kill him. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not 6 months. It's over a year. I mean, it'll be another year and
no,
a bit.
No, it's not. If you break the year down, Niall, come on. How long is it still?
Yeah, well, he'll be doing his leaving cert next June. Not this June, next June. Okay, so it's over a year away. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not going to kill him, you had to, and it's not only that, it's teaching him discipline and, starting something and finishing it. And then whatever he wants to do after
I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on that. I think discipline is important. And he should be getting up out of the bed every morning and, you know, fully in participation of this.
Yeah, but he wants to get up out of bed, but he wants to go into his dad's garage instead and not go into school.
Then he should be up every morning. Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that lady. Discipline is very, very important.
Oh, it is, yeah. Sorry, Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. Finish what you're saying here.
No, I'm just saying it. As you say, the world will be as oyster. As you say, people are going back to college and, you know, the older we get, the more we understand what we want. And it's a different type of language, really. Like, for me, when I was in school, I loved school, but it didn't click with me. So I left school very young. And then I'd known to put on a CV when I was going for a job. And then there was a major gap there. And then the first real education thing that I'd done was a diploma in computers. And I never forget it. Like, I was, at the time, I think it was around 26, 27. And the lad that was teaching it, it was a fast course. And he started, like, how in the name of God did I even get on the course? Because I had to do a load of things manually as well, like writing. And my brightest idea is I'm not great at sort of pronouncing words and spelling. And I think it's the language. If you like the language, if you understand it, go ahead and study it. You know, like,
sorry, Sarah, just, and what, did you have a epiphany?
Epiphany.
Sorry. I couldn't resist that, for those who don't, it's a private kind of joke. Going back some time ago, Sarah told us she had epiphany at one stage in her life.
I know, epiphany and awareness.
Epiphany, which was there. We put that on the show. That was one of the best reactions we ever got to a trailer for the show, by the way, was you saying epiphany. That was hilariously funny. So Sarah, academics is not important, really, isn't it? Because look, you've got a good job. By your own admission, you weren't an academic, but you've got yourself a good job. You know what I mean? I don't consider myself an academic. I'm intelligent.
Like, where I'm coming from with this, right, I was totally brutal in English, right? Mm. But then, if I had to grow up and speak about music, and I had to build an environment-friendly company in Switzerland, like, I had to do a load of different things later on in life. I had to measure the speed of water by throwing an orange in it up in Wicklow Mountains. And this is part of, like... Going back to school, like. But then I realised in life, what do I really like? And what do I really want to do? And, like, I love music. So, like, that's my pleasure time. I'm happy enough with that. But, like, what do I like as a career? I like helping people. Like, what type of people? Mental health. Have I got good clarity? Am I educated about that? Am I able to understand the language of it? And that's my idea.
And, like, and that's what you're doing now, and you're earning a good living doing it.
Yeah, but Niall, I went back right now. I'm not, like, I went into Trinity College, right, up the light building, and a neuroscience course. I could understand everything that the professors were telling me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But put me into a class talking about, I don't know, some poetry, some poet or something, where I wouldn't have a clue. Put me in a class about Vincent van Gogh, and I'll be able to understand them 100%.
I get you. And some people are very qualified at what they know best and what they have an interest in. And I'm pretty much like that. I'm not interested in stuff I don't have an interest in, if you understand the point I'm trying to make. Like, I'm not even going to bother talking about stuff I don't have an interest in. Like, in all the years I've done on radio, I've had producers come to me and say, right, we were thinking of doing this today and talking about this. And I go, I don't know about that. I have no interest in that. And they go, well, but it's interesting. I go, no, I have no interest. I'm not going to go on the radio for an hour and talk about something I've no interest in. I couldn't give a shite about. Do you know what I mean? Why would I want to do that? But anyway, stay there, because I've got to go to Morris finally before I wrap this up. Morris, hi.
Hi, Niall.
Good. Morris, I mean, do you believe... there you go. Sarah says she agrees with the mum. It's only a year. Stay in school. Finish it off. Karen's kind of sitting on the fence. But then again, she kind of agrees with the dad in some sense. Well, who do you agree with?
I don't know. It's hard, like, because like, for instance, like, I would have been fairly, I'm not, like, I wouldn't, like, I would have been fairly academic. Like I'd be a dairy farmer. My family was always into farming, but I did brilliant in my junior certs. Then I got lazy, and I did grind enough, and I got maybe about 350 plus or whatever. But like, my brother and sister, for instance, got over 500 or whatever. But like, they put in the work, but I didn't. But it wasn't too bad, but like, there was other people I knew, for instance, that weren't academic or didn't have the intelligence to do it, but like, they were fairly good practical wise. And unfortunately, at the time when I was doing the Leaving Cert back in 2013, you know, trying to get a trade was like gold dust. Like, the government at the time failed my generation. You know, they didn't have a system in place whereby, let's say, the ESB, let's say, if you wanted to become an electrician, could take on a pile of fellas, train them. I know the ESB would only take on a certain amount of them, but at least the rest of those guys, if they're going to Australia, they have a qualification to be, you know, saying that they're qualified. Instead of going off unqualified, like, lots of people I knew doing Leaving Cert with me. You know, if they were qualified, and eventually they'd probably be coming back to Ireland after 10 years, make it with a pile of money, buying a house maybe with cash. But the government at the time under Enda Kenny didn't have that hindsight, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. I think we've discouraged, well, over the years, we've kind of discouraged people from doing apprenticeships, which I think is not a good thing.
Yeah, but like when what people fail to realize is like who were the big spenders during the Celtic Tiger? They were the block layers. They were the, like, I knew plenty of fellas. The problem with those fellas was that they make a pile of money, but then they were spending it as well. So when the crash happened, then, like, you know, and they had mortgages, and, you know, a lot of them went under. But I knew a lot of fellas, for instance, that, you know, they were kind of, you know, they had a German mentality. They didn't spend much. They were saving. They were investing, and those fellas were grand. And also those fellas, some of them they followed the work, they went to Australia, they kept working, didn't stay in this country and hoping that things would turn around. In relation to, you were saying interest and stuff, like, for instance, I'd be very interested as well with politics, for instance. Like, politics would be my premiership. Like, a lot of fellas, when you're getting your hair cut, they'd be saying, oh, they should have bought this guy in the transfers, whatever. I wouldn't really have an interest.
Yeah.
But, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. People say, why is Helen McAtee still in why didn't Simon Harris demote her? Well, like, I can look at that and say, if I was Simon Harris, why would I demote her? Like, if I'm going to face a bad election, you know, you don't want someone like who's competent, someone like Simon Coveney or someone like that, to challenge you after a bad election results. You know what I mean?
But a lot of people say he should have dumped her because he should have shown some level of leadership as soon as he started. Because let's be clear about it, you have to read the room as well, and the majority of people in the country have no faith in her.
Yeah, but like, you don't want someone then who is competent, who's in a ministerial role, then to challenge her. That would be my thinking. I could be right, could be wrong, but if I was in his position, like, I'd rather have incompetent people in ministerial positions that can't take my job.
Okay, that's like we used to do years ago when you were a DJ and you went on holidays. You put another DJ in to fill in for you. But we used to call them insurance DJs. In other words, they were good enough to do the job, but never good enough to take your job.
Yeah.
Well, listen, on that note, I have to wrap it up. We've got over time. Karen, thank you very much indeed. Morris, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate both of you coming on the air and talking to us today. Thank you to everybody who got involved in that topic. Now, by the way, can I just mention as well, of course, I'm asking you to vote for me. Remember, of course, I'm running in the Dublin constituency for Europe. So if you get your polling cards in and you get your little bits and pieces in the door, please give me a nod when you get to the polling station and vote number one. All right. And I really, really appreciate it because I want to be there to represent you. You know, I've been a talk show host. You know, I've been listening. Unlike the government, I listen to people. And if you want to vote against this government, please don't vote for the government parties for Europe. We don't need any more of that. We need no more woke MEPs going to Europe. All right. We want MEPs to go to Europe who will represent you and your failings. And I know from listening to people and all the topics that I've done for the last 30 years, and particularly over the last 5 years in this country, I think I have a fair idea how people think. And I want to make a promise to you, and I made this promise already numerous times, that if I do get elected and I am successful on June the 7th, that I will continue to do the podcast. The schedule will have to change slightly, obviously, but I will continue to do the podcast on a daily basis, and I will ask you what to do. Because when I'm in Europe, I will be going to debates and plenaries, and they'll be voting on directives and legislation, and I want to get your view on it, because I've always done that. So I want to know your thinking on it. And I'll say, look, I was at this debate today. We're going to be voting on it next week. How do you think I should run with this vote? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? Here's my thoughts on it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'll be like a reporter over there, as well as being a politician. I don't like the title politician, by the way. I'm a broadcaster. I always have been. I'm not a career politician. I'm just a damn good listener and a damn good representative of the people, I believe. So please give me your vote in the election. And by the way, the other thing as well, can I mention too, that during this election, of course, it's very expensive. And as you know, I had to give up my job. So I'm going to be a year on beans and chips, or should I say a month on beans and chips until such a time as the election happens. So it's difficult for us because the bigger parties have deep pockets. And, you know, they can put all their posters up. Now, we will have, obviously, posters up and stuff going out to the doors as well. But all that costs a huge amount of money, massive amount of money. I know people are stuck for money. I know it's difficult. But if you can and you have the opportunity to help us in the campaign, obviously, we're completely transparent. We will be SIPO registered for those people who understand that, which means that we can only take a maximum donation. And we can only take a minimum donation, but that's anonymous. So you can go to our website and donate. The website, by the way, is www.nileboylanforeurope.ie. I don't see the money. I have a campaign manager. They look after all of that. So it's nileboylanforeurope.ie. If you go to the website, you can donate anything from a tenner to whatever you want. The world's your oyster. But there is actually a maximum level that will allow you to donate. Okay, so thank you very much indeed to everybody who's donated so far. I really, really appreciate it because it just helps me to get over the line because I don't have the deep pockets of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael and all the rest of them. But I know already that people are looking for full transparency and people are looking for a good representative in Europe. And I know I can be that person, so please do vote for me. Now, just to mention as well, in relation to today's topic, we do have one or two WhatsApps here to play. Hold on, I get them for you now. Hang on a second.
No, just let them leave. Like, kids don't like to hear, teenagers don't like to hear one more year, one more day. They don't like to hear that. And when he goes back, he mightn't study properly. And he can always do his leaving again in time to come. The work is there for him now. Let him go for it. You know, it's not for everybody. It's on his mind now. He's going to want to do it. So if he goes back to school, is he going to be able to study properly one more year? Kids don't like to hear that. Cheers, Noel.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, great subject today. Getting back a bit late. I have a friend of mine who has a 16-year-old son, and he loves cars. So his dad works in a garage, and he got the young fella in for 2 weeks' work experience, and the manager couldn't believe how good he was. And he gave him 2 weeks' work experience, and he told him he should, write, you stay in school, you're 16, you should be out by your 18, and I'll give you an apprenticeship mechanic. And you'll be a mechanic within 4 years. So he recommends stay on, get your education, then come out and do your apprenticeship. I think it's a good idea. So, yeah, stay there and get what you want. Passion for cars. This kid goes once every month to a coffee and cars show all over Ireland, and he just loves cars. Cheers, Morris.
Good afternoon, Niall and team. Very, very interesting conversation, and one that should be had more often. I look back on my school days, as I said before, and I had teachers who were abysmal. They had no passion. They had no drive, no desire to pass on knowledge. And, you know, I often think back when I saw that video then years later, Breaking the Wall by whatever the name of the group is, you know, putting the kids through a mincer. I think that's what it was all about at the time. But to the subject at hand with this young man, if he has a passion and a skill and a desire and a will to do something now, feed that, nurture it. You know, he'll probably do very, very well, particularly if he's under the stewardship and guidance of his father and his older brother. Whereas if he's forced to do his leaving cert, he'll have a bit of paper. What does it mean at the end of the day? Nothing. Look at the people that go on to college. The vast, vast, vast majority of them end up in a job that has nothing to do with what they went to college to study. The vast majority. There's no denying that. Anyway, I'll be listening on. Great show as always, Niall. Take care.
Thanks very much indeed, Martin. Appreciate it. Thanks to everybody, by the way, text in, by the way, as well. David says, children leaving school before leaving cert, schools need an academic and vocational education. And also Jackie says, my view would be to get the leaving cert out of the way and then go to work with his father. Jane says, can't come on, but I think she's right. School days are the best. Love your show. Lorraine says, I'll be voting you. Thanks very much indeed. Oh, another Lorraine says, I think if school isn't for him and his dad can get him an apprenticeship, leave him off school. It isn't for everybody. Well, Mr. Hogan, Joseph, what's the story? What are you jumping on here at the end when we're meant to be finishing for?
Yeah, sorry, I had some problems. By the way, I'm on a brand new phone, so I hope you hear me nice and crisp and clean.
Oh, I have to say, Joseph, it's so wonderful not to have the echo, isn't it?
I got a new phone just for you. But no, seriously, I was trying to get on earlier, but I was having problems. It was on silent. We've got this mindset that every child has to go through the academic leaving cert system, and that's an absolute joke because it's... That's not the way it was with all of humans up until
what, 40, 50 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people could learn and trade from their parents. That's the best and, I'd say, the only way for people to learn.
Yeah.
Because in school, they're so disengaged. They're not enjoying it. It's not for them, and it's not the way you learn. I spent, what, 12 years in total learning Irish language in school. I couldn't speak a word of it.
I was the same, yeah.
Not working to me.
Yeah.
I spent 3 weeks in the Gaeltacht. I came back practically fluent, and I learned all the words I needed to flirt with the girls. The most important part of it.
Right.
So...
The flirting with the girls obviously work quite well, by the way, because the produce of that is right beside you there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can hear my baby here.
quickly, Joseph, because I have to finish, but should this guy stay in school, finish his leaving cert? Look, it's only his leaving cert.
No.
No, just go. Yeah, exactly. Do the apprenticeship.
What? No, absolutely not. Go do an apprenticeship. There's so many more life skills you can learn by being with your dad, by having connection, by learning hands-on material. That's the way to do. I and many, many thousands of people have gone through life perfectly happy with never using our leaving cert results once in our life. So it's an absolute sham at the moment, and I definitely suggest he get some life skills.
Okay, Joseph, listen, thank you. Sorry I've run out of time. Joseph, thank you very much. Glad I could squeeze you on the end there. By the way, don't forget, the podcasts cost money to put out on a daily basis. Like everything else, we need your help. If you can subscribe to our podcast, we'd really appreciate it. You can watch all the previous shows if you subscribe on the website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. Please go there. Please subscribe. Three of us work on the show. We don't get paid for doing it. I know I'm sounding like I'm begging, don't I? We don't get paid for doing it. So it's like buying us a beer or a cup of coffee between the three of us once a month. We can sip on it each. Listen, thank you very much indeed. So please subscribe to the show, nileboylan.com. It's the only way that we can give you this platform every single day. Most days we cover news stories. Some days we cover stories like this, which are just social issues, which are also equally important, by the way. So please, please do subscribe. I shall talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, have a great day. And remember to vote for me on June the 7th, number one for EU Parliament.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.